Cornerstone Sports Network.
Hello and welcome to the obligatory Keystone Crossover Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with my good buddy Chris Buchanani. Chris, how you doing today?
Living the dream, Jim. I know that's cliche to say at this point, but here we are. Football season's over, but we're still talking college football. Not too shabby.
That's right. It doesn't get better. For those who are new listeners, let's just let you know, this is a combination of the obligatory Penn State podcast from Chris's group and the Keystone Sports Network. This is where Chris and I will find a Penn State or college football topic that we're interested in, and we'll share it with you, our listeners. And as Chris alluded to, let's face it, more Penn State football talk and football talk in general, it's a good thing. We alternate the show between our two sites. If you're listening, you obviously found us this week at the Keystone Sports Network. Chris, why don't you let our listeners know where they'll be able to find our show next week?
Wherever you get your podcasts, just type in obligatory and there it will be. And I should stipulate that it is the end of college football season, because we've got an exciting wild card weekend coming up. If you're listening to this the week we are recording it, go Eagles.
All right. Well, there's something we could definitely agree on. However, I had someone ask me about the matchup, and my only response was, the Eagles are just happy to be there. Let's face it, being a playoff team is not what we expected to start the season.
No, it's supposed to be a rebuilding season.
That's right. And remember, three first-round picks next year, after making the playoffs, that's all good. Anyway, Chris, you and I, on our show, regular listeners will know, we pick out one topic, and we alternate who picks out that topic. This week, it's your turn. Now, under normal circumstances, we'll send each other notes ahead of the show, so we'll let the other guy know what we want to talk about and a few notes on the topic. However, this week, you're pulling a fast one on me. You're not going to tell me ahead of time. You said you want to spring it on me. So now's the time, Chris. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, I want to get the authentic, organic, top-of-mind response from you, Jim. And I'm going to bust convention a little bit further by just shouting out two topics that I think are going to be interesting in Penn State football news that we're not going to discuss. But a major development in coaching turnover for the Nittany Lions this past week in Jawan Sider deciding not to take a co-offensive coordinator position at Florida and stay here in Happy Valley. One of the best recruiters on the staff. So a big win for James to somehow keep him in-house with a return to Florida calling. So that's good news for Penn State. And, of course, the schedule change just announced. These are both topics I'm sure you guys will kick around on the Keystone Kickoff Show. But I think an improvement for the Nittany Lions next season in terms of the way the new schedule stacks up versus the one we thought we were going to have. So those are going to be two headlines Penn State fans can keep an eye on over the next 7 to 10 days as we recover from the end of the college football season. But since, indeed, the college football season is officially over, with the Georgia Bulldogs having defeated the Alabama Crimson Tide in the All-SEC National Title Game, I wanted to kick around just a discussion about the state of Penn State football and how we think about it. Because as the post-game celebration and interviews and everything were being televised after the title game, there was frequent reference to the fact that it had not been since 1980 that Georgia had ended the season number one. That's a long drought for a passionate fan base and a proud program, a team at whose expense Penn State's first championship came. And I think in the playoff era, there has been a lot of similarity, we'll say, between the mindset of the Georgia fan base and Penn State's. In fact, I frequently said the only fan base more frustrated in the playoff era than Penn State's has been Georgia's. Because while Penn State has won more than any other non-playoff team during the playoff era, Georgia's actually gotten there. They got to the cusp of climbing the mountain and were a missed field goal away from getting past Alabama and calling themselves national champions. So this is the culmination of a long, miserable slog for those Bulldogs fans. And I guess there was a little part of me that was watching them enjoy that and thinking, man, you know, good for them. That's a good college football fan base. Great school. I think a lot of similarities between Penn State and Georgia in terms of football programs and you know, what we've experienced as fans. But it also got me thinking, are we anywhere close to ending what is now, you know, has become one of the longer national title droughts of programs capable of competing for and winning a national championship? Georgia has been knocking on the door damn near since the start of the playoff era. And we felt like Penn State was on the cusp of knocking on the door. And now we're 11-11 over the last two seasons. And I don't know about you, Jim, schedule changes or not, I don't have an enormous reservoir of optimism and hope for 2022. Aside from this year's recruiting class, which is based entirely on potential, I don't know that there are too many positive indicators to believe that Penn State's even going to be good, let alone great, or dare I say it, elite. Georgia dominated Alabama in the national title game with a defense, and particularly a defensive line, populated across the front four with the type of athlete we can only dream of having in blue and white. As you know, look, I could be a crab in a bucket and just angry that Georgia's title drought ended and ours hasn't. I'm going back to the Eagles. I am a different human being and a different sports fan post Super Bowl 52. I think I am far more able to enjoy good things happening for other fan bases I don't explicitly hate. And so I look at the Georgia folks and I say, man, good for you guys. You hung in there for four decades, and that's got to feel great, and I'm happy for you. I have no reason to believe in my lifetime, which I hope will be at least four more decades, Jim, God willing, I'm going to see anything similar for the Nittany Lions.
Well, first off, I don't think I have four decades left, Chris, but in the couple decades I have left...
Don't sell yourself and medical science short, Jim.
All right, fair enough. Starting with the initial question, how far away is Penn State? Watching Alabama, Georgia, I, like you, and probably a boatload of other Penn State fans had that same thought. How far away is our team from this group? And the answer is real far away, okay? Not close. And I think
they cannot see Penn State in their rearview mirror.
No, they cannot. It's going to be, and I'll call it another generation. And by generation, I mean this group, the core of the 21 team, that you could say much of that core is coming back, but this core doesn't have it. I mean, it's going to take multiple years to stock the cupboard.
Imagine when the best thing you can say is the core of the 2021 team is coming back. Awesome.
Well, and there's a couple different ways to attack this. I truly believe that the path to the playoffs is a great quarterback and great quarterback play, and Penn State has not had that. Now, looking at Georgia's team, they don't have that wonderful quarterback. They don't have Trevor Lawrence, okay? They don't have Tua. They don't have Deshaun Watson. They don't have, and I think that's the quickest, easiest, best way to get from here to there. But Georgia, to their credit, and I think Michigan was a similar team making it into the playoffs this year without that kind of quarterback. But if you're going to get there without that kind of quarterback, you better have a team like Georgia's. We thought Penn State's defense was good. It does not stack up to that Georgia defense. And But Georgia, go look at the recruiting records from the last 4 or 5 years and see where Georgia is.
Yes.
Remember, they got the quarterback a few years ago with Justin Fields, and that didn't work out. But they've been stockpiling every other position, okay? And I want to point out also that wonderful freshman tight end. Remember, Penn State, I believe, was one of the finalists to get him. It never appeared they had a super chance of getting him. I think Georgia led most of the way. But those kind of players in those different positions, defensive line, linebackers, DBs, Georgia was just loaded. And for Penn State, yes, the 22 class is really nice, Chris, but you don't win in the national championship or get to the playoffs by having one of those classes in a row. You get there by having 3, 4, 5 classes like that in a row. And that's what Alabama does. That's what Clemson does. That's what Ohio State does. It's what Georgia does.
Yeah, and look, I mean, there's the playoff expansion discussion, and will that change the way we view success and failure in the sport? And then there is, to your point, a path into the playoffs for Penn State. You know, always it's true. You can go the Michigan route or the Michigan State route, which is win one or two games, be at your best in the most crucial moments of the regular season, and then go to the playoffs and get your ass kicked and reveal how far away you are from the two entrants in the actual championship game. So there's all of that. And to speak quickly to your point about the quarterback and Georgia potentially is the exception that proves the rule, if Mechie and Williams are healthy for Alabama, which had the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, very possibly a different game. But what I am more interested in at this point, Jim, is your answer to the existential question, since we both seem to be in agreement that the odds that Penn State is going to end this long title drought anytime soon are pretty long. For whatever remains of your fandom, Jim, and again, I'm going to believe that it's a nice, healthy, long amount of time. Are you to the point where you're going to start to reframe your expectations of the team and their season based on an implicit knowledge that they have almost no chance to be an actual championship contender?
You know, I'm taking a deep breath here before answering the question, Chris, because
you can see why I wanted to spring this on you. I want from your heart, not your head today.
My heart, here's how I adjust my expectation. I think from what I've learned, and by the way, you made a good point. When I think of Michigan as having snuck into the playoffs, things just fell right for them, and Jim Harbaugh had his best game of his tenure at Michigan when they beat Ohio State. Yep. That was their Super Bowl. That was their huge win. I don't really think of them as a playoff team, nor that Michigan State team that got in. I believe it was Washington once, Notre Dame. Those teams just get in and they get their rear end kicked. I don't think of them as legitimate contenders. But I think of for Penn State to get to that elite kind of team, again, using James Franklin's word, it starts with recruiting. So there were 2 or 3 years in a row, the recruiting just, it was not good, you know, for Penn State, the standard that they have to be. If you want to win the national championship, you got to have 10, you've got to stack top 10 recruiting classes. So, you know, this 22 class, love the class, love where it was ranked, love some of the individuals, you know, there's a potential superstar quarterback, superstar running back. Caden Saunders is this phenomenal wide receiver. Denai Dennis Sutton, you know, tremendous defensive end. There's both stars and depth in it. Now, come back to me after you've done that 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
That's the step if we want the expectations of Penn State to be what us old guys remember, where pretty much every Penn State recruiting class somewhere in that 4-year cycle they were either playing for an undefeated season or a national championship. If we want that again, it's as simple as, you know, recruit better. And can they do it? My heart says yes. My head, not quite as sure, Chris, not quite as sure.
Is it going to change, though, for you, Jim, the way you think as a fan? The way you approach a season, the way you think about an off season. I mean, it is getting to the point where through most of my life, I enjoy the hell out of college football and I enjoy the hell out of every Penn State football season, or at least most of them. Less so these past several years, I'm sorry to say. And I don't know if that's me, the team and sport, or both. But I have always approached it with the general context of the team as either a national title contender or future national title contender. And after sitting and watching the jubilation on the faces of those Georgia fans as 40 years of frustration just came, you know, washing out over the field in Indianapolis or wherever the hell that game was played.
Yes.
Came to the conclusion that the nature of Penn State football and the nature of college football is such that I ought to start significantly tempering my expectations that I am going to get a similar moment of catharsis in my lifetime, even if it is in fact extended by several decades.
You know, Chris, and I get it, and any fan who went through the sanction years knows and understands what it's like to just lower expectations. I remember going to games in that era and making note of enjoying the fact that no game was a given, okay? Any win was a good win.
Yep.
Now, going forward, I don't want to settle for that, and I don't think I can. And every year I'll probably go in, and this is just the heart of a fan. This past season, should we by any right have expected a top five team or a playoff contender? And there we were after five games, 5-0, playing an Iowa team that was also ranked in the top five that I was convinced Penn State was just playing the better team. And that's all it took to get me to expect playoffs. Now, next year, yes, the cold hard reality is they're coming off back-to-back or 2 years of 500 play, and I don't think Sean Clifford's the guy, that special quarterback that I alluded to earlier. But, I can't help it. I'm a fan. I'm going to watch those games next year and say, hey, how about if we get Vayu in there or Aller in there? And I'll be watching Nick Singleton to see if he's going to be the next great running back. And I'll already have visions of 23 in my head. Meanwhile, I'm watching the 23 recruiting class, seeing if they can do that back-to-back thing. So as cynical as I am by nature, as much as my head tells me this is back-to-back, you know, years of total 500 play, Chris, on our show every week we do our predictions for the game. And the only game that I didn't predict Penn State to win was when they played Ohio State. And because I couldn't even get the words out of my mouth, I didn't make a prediction that week, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that, call me a sucker, but I'm a fan. I'm still waiting for Sean Clifford to have that breakout season. So,
look, if Stetson Bennett can do it, anyone can. But again, albeit with a supporting cast of top five recruiting classes and guys who are going to have 10-year NFL careers all over the field. Do you know who the smartest, happiest fans in college football are, Jim, outside of maybe UTSA? Like, I mean, in terms of like actual serious, historically anyways approaching relevant programs, like Wisconsin and Iowa fans have got to be like some of the happiest folks in the college football world because they have absolutely no expectation of competing for a national championship. And to your point about all the names you just rattled off and the potential for this team to improve, I'm not saying we can't go 11-2. I'm not saying 11-win seasons are off the table. I think we're very close to being able to have those kind of years. And those years are great, and I love them, and I look forward to them. But the gulf between 11-2 and 14-0 is orders of magnitude wider, in my opinion, than the gulf between 7-6 and 11-2. And I do not see a path to 14-0 for Penn State football. And again, the sport has changed so much and continues to transform on such a regular basis that I guess the positive angle on it for me is I'm not even sure I care. I don't really know, Jim, if I care that Penn State is not going to be able to win a national championship in a sport where Texas A&M just bought a number one recruiting class for $35 million. I think I'd rather just be an Iowa or Wisconsin fan and be like, hey, double-digit wins, neat, tailgating, awesome. Happy Valley, one of the most magical, beautiful places on earth, and I get to experience it. Look, we're on a podcast. Who gives a shit whether or not that we're 14-0? To hell with it.
Well, and here's the other part to it, and I mentioned how during the sanction years, any win was a good win, and I'd appreciate it. Let me ask you this question, Chris. If you're Alabama, and they were 13-1, right, this season, or 14-1, how many games would you even be interested in? Are right. you not like 10-0 and 11-0 essentially to start the season?
Those people looked absolutely miserable. God, it is precarious to be up on the top. I will tell you what.
I get the feeling they can't get excited about a win. They only get disappointed by a loss. And would I take that kind of dominance? Yeah, I'm sure I would for my team. But when I don't think, you know, an 11-2 season is the worst thing in the world. That's
no.
a heck of a lot of fun weekends where instead of, like I said, for Alabama, they assume 11 wins. There's only one or two games all year that they think is even a contest. So I'm not sure that is the most fun in the world, although I'd like to find out. But, you know, it's easy. I can understand why fans, and we have a lot of our listeners, they send in their questions, Chris. And I understand how disappointed they are over the performance the last two seasons. And there's legitimate reasons for that. And it's not just the outcome. There's questions on how the offensive line has been handled. You know, it was supposed to be a stable of running backs, and look what we got. The offensive line never seems to be good. It's always wait till next year. So I get that. I really do intellectually. But I'm a fan through and through, Chris. It's just so difficult. It's hard for me to just throw in the towel. So I can't wait for, what is it, next September 3rd and the first game of the season. I can't wait.
Me neither. I'm just going to – I think I am going to start enjoying it for more than, oh, I get to be a fan of a national title contender. Because I'm not sure that I do. I very well may just change my standards for James Franklin – to be, as they have always been, graduate your players, produce good young men off the field. And, you know, most seasons win double-digit games. Win 10 or more games 3 out of every 4 years, and I'll be happy as a pig in slop. And, hell, to hear Sandy Barber tell it, if you win 10 games in 3 out of 4 years, that's the best Penn State football, which began in 2014, by the way, has ever been. That's the greatest we've ever been in our entire history is 3 double-digit seasons, win seasons in 4 years. So if that standard is good enough for our athletic director, it's good enough for me and my mental health. So one of the things we've always tried to do is give psychotherapy to ourselves and perhaps by extension the audience. If you are the type of fan who does not want to settle for that, I sympathize with you. I am not going to fan shame you or gatekeep you or any of that kind of nonsense. In some ways, maybe you're a better fan than I am at this point. But if you are somebody who was watching those jubilant Georgia fans with a certain feeling of ennui setting in, let me tell you, number one, you are not alone. You're seen and you're heard. And you can perhaps embrace my new spin on Penn State fandom, which is just get me to 11 wins, baby, and I'll be all set for the long, cold offseason we have as Happy Valley is blistered by ice storms.
Wouldn't we have loved to have a 10 or 11 win season the last 2 years, Chris?
Would have been wonderful. We had to put two campaigns back-to-back to get to 11. No more of that.
Exactly. Exactly, Chris. Well, that is it for our show. Chris, great topic today. Hopefully it was cathartic for you just to get that out off of your chest.
Sure was.
And I hope our listeners, it was also good therapy for them also. Thank you all for listening. Be sure you join us next week on the obligatory Keystone Crossover Show.
Keystone Sports Network.